Genesis chapter 1, we'll stand for the reading of the word. Verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Father, we are glad this morning that you have given to us the revelation of your word. Makes us realize where we came from and how responsible we are to the one who made us. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you have assembled us together in the house of God, to hear the word of God, and to feel the spirit of the Lord, and to respond to God in our hearts. Help us this morning, Lord. We'd give you the glory that's due unto your name. Help me as I speak this morning to speak as the oracles of God, under the anointing of the Lord, to make known the mind of God. And we'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak to you this morning for a few minutes on the Creator's masterpiece. The Creator's masterpiece. In my text in chapter 1, we have the work of God on the sixth day of creation in which he made man. In chapter 2, we have not a different story from that in chapter 1, but an amplification of the events of chapter 1, and primarily the events on the sixth day of creation. The extended coverage that God gives to the creation of man in particular speaks to us of the lofty place that man holds in the creation of God. I don't want to make too much, and I believe I'm not making too much of my text, if I say to you that if you cannot accept the divine testimony of man's origins, as I have read to you in the scripture, the Bible is a closed book to you. For the rest of it does not make sense if you reject the truth that I have just read to you about the origins of man. The fact that man has a creator was not something that we discovered. It was of necessity a revealed truth. Who observed the creation of the first man? There was nobody here to see that. We couldn't discover that. The only way that we could know that is for God to reveal that. And so God revealed that truth. It's recorded for us by Moses in the first book of the Bible. Only way that we know about creation is through divine revelation. In my text, we have the method of man's making discussed in verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So he is formed by the hand of God. We have the material of man's making in verse 7. He was made of the dust of the ground. We have the mystery of his makeup. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. The main competition explaining man's origins comes from man's observations of nature, its forms, its variations. And one man put it down in a book, the observations of man in nature. His name was Charles Darwin. And he wrote a book called The Origin of the Species back in the 19th century. And he claimed that all of life was the result of an evolutionary process. Simple life forms just sprang from lifeless matter, and that over millions of years, life developed from simple life forms to complex animals, with man being the highest development to date. And evolution is not through, according to this theory. So, some see this process of evolution as being completely an accident of nature. It just happened without anybody planning it. Others see evolution as being a divinely guided process. They call this theistic evolution. But my Bible does not picture man emerging from the womb of a monkey. It shows him being fashioned by the hand of God. There is nothing that intervened between man and the hand of God. God put his hand directly on him and fashioned him out of the dust of the ground. The scriptures teach us that man's creation is unique. He is formed by God's hand. He is not called into existence by divine decree like other parts of the creation. When God got ready to make light, he said, "Let there be light." There was light. When God got ready to clothe the earth in green grass and trees, he spoke them into existence. But when God created man, the Bible tells us that God went into some trouble, that he formed him with his own hands. Secondly, man's creation is unique in that he is made in the likeness and image of God. This image and likeness of God is primarily moral and spiritual likeness, not a physical likeness. If it were a physical likeness, as some people claim, then the ape would have some claim to being made in the image and likeness of God as well. For his physical appearance is very much like our own. But the ape was not made in the image and likeness of God. Only we have been made in the image and likeness of God. And that likeness is primarily moral and spiritual. For that reason, in the New Testament, we are told that the new man created in Christ Jesus is renewed in the image of God. Now, that doesn't mean that our physical body is reshaped, but it means that our spiritual nature is reshaped so that again we are identified, or we are in the likeness, the image of God, spiritually and morally. Thirdly, man's creation was unique in that God breathed into man the breath of life. He not only fashioned him with his hands, but he breathed into him the breath of life. All the other creatures were composed of earth alone. But man had a mixture of earth and heaven. He was made from the dust of the earth, but he had in him the breath of God, so that there was something of the earth in him. There was something of heaven in him as well. If dust is the whole story of man, We're not worth much. And you know, people who have their bodies cremated after their death, they can put the ashes in a little old jar. And if you were to try to sell the worth of those ashes, you wouldn't get much money out of that. I'm telling you, if this body is all there is to us, then we are not worth much. Matthew Henry said it like this. He said, man was not made of gold dust or powder of pearl or diamond dust, but common dust, dust of the ground. But we know that we are more than dust. We know that the breath of God is in us, so that Jesus could say concerning the worth of a man, what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So that there's something about us that's worth more than the whole world. So our body is not the whole story. God breathed into us and we became a living soul. Then man is unique in this fact, that he has a human self-consciousness. So when Adam woke up after God formed him and breathed into him, he was conscious of more than his surroundings. He was conscious of himself. He was self-aware. He could think. He could feel. He could make decisions. He could analyze his feelings. He could make judgments. He could enjoy his surroundings. He could love. He could rejoice. He could react to his environment, so that there was something about him. He was conscious of more than just what was around him. He was conscious of what was inside of him. There was a self-consciousness about him that made him unique in the creation of God. You know, apes are not interested in history, but we are. I hope we are. Maybe you are. Apes don't do genealogical research. We do. Apes don't write history books, but we do. And not only are we aware of ourselves, aware of our past, but we are interested in our future. So we try to look ahead in life. So there's something about man that isn't in any other creature that God made. There is a human self-consciousness. There's a mind in us. And this is one of the greatest evidences of the creation, that we are not just an accident. Because man has a mind. And the mind is more than a computer composed of meat. No computer can be made that can duplicate the complexities of the human mind and the human personality. God breathes something into us that science and technology cannot duplicate. We are more than a machine. We are a human being designed by God, breathed into by the breath of God. Then, fifthly, man is unique because he not only has a self-consciousness, but he has a God-consciousness. God made us with the capability of knowing and fellowshipping with God. This is what makes us unique among all the created beings. We have the ability to know and to fellowship with God. Man was the Creator's masterpiece. Did you hear me? I said man was the Creator's masterpiece. When you look at the psalmist, the words of the psalmist in Psalms chapter 8, This is one of my favorite psalms. It begins and ends with the words, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. And he says in this psalm, oh my, listen to this. The psalmist says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And sometimes we think about that scripture speaking of the insignificance of man in comparison to the vastness of the universe, just a tiny speck on the earth. But what this really is saying, it's declaring the value of man to God, that in all of this vast universe, God notices man. He is mindful of him. That God visited him. That in all of this universe, God pays attention to us. What is man? Oh my, what a question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor, madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. And the psalmist, in meditating on what God had done in the creation, and how God had bestowed such wonderful benefits upon man, he worshiped God. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. And you know, when we understand the real value of the creation and the Creator, what God has done for us and what he's made out of us, that meditation always brings us to the worship of the Creator. Everybody in heaven, I want to tell you this, everybody in heaven believes in creation. There's nobody in heaven that believes in evolution. Everybody in heaven believes in creation. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 4 and 11, where the veil is parted and John is seeing into the heavens, and he views this representative band of redeemed saints called the 24 elders around the throne. And they are worshiping God in Revelation 4 and 11. And this is what they are saying. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So these people worship God because they recognize the fact God is the creator of all things. And they understand that there was a reason God made us. We were to worship him, to fellowship him. God gave to us a God consciousness so that we are aware of God. We can know him and fellowship with him. It was St. Augustine who prayed this prayer. He said, O God, thou hast made man for thyself, and he will ever be restless until he finds his rest in thee. I want Sister Judy, is she around? Somebody to come to the piano. I want to tell you, friends, this is the reason why the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember your Creator. Remember the one that made you. Remember the one that fashioned you. Remember the one that gave to you the capability of knowing him and worshiping him. And this is the highest activity of man, is to know God and to worship God. The great French philosopher and Christian Descartes said, there are only two sane people in the world. Two sane people, two types of people that are sane. All the rest he says, are insane. And those two people, he said, one is the person who worships God, who loves God because he knows him and he worships him passionately. He said, the other sane person is the man who is passionately seeking to know God. He said, those are the only two sane people in the world, is the man that knows God and loves him passionately, and the other is the one who is passionately seeking to know God. Do you know him? Have you remembered your Creator, the one that made you for the purpose of worshiping him, knowing him, serving him? I'm telling you, you're missing out on so much when you fail to remember your Creator, and especially in the days of your youth. Now, I want us to stand together this morning. If there's anybody in this service, you've come here this morning void of the presence of God. Your heart is dead to God. You don't know Him. You don't have fellowship with Him. But God made you to know Him. He made you to have fellowship with Him. We're going to open the altars in case there's anybody here that you would like to come and get to know Jesus around this altar. Can you sing, Kendall? Given back to Him your heart, your life. Do you know Jesus this morning as